It's the lack of understanding in my body concerning praise and worship that keeps people from being obedient unto me, says the Lord. My command for you to worship me, and the Father's desire for those to worship Him in spirit and in truth, comes from the same place of your determination to live holy out of a spirit that is created in righteousness and true holiness, says the Spirit of grace. I did not ask you to feel like praising me. I did not ask you to do it if all of your thoughts were concentrated solely at one moment before you began. Why do you suppose that the Word describes it as the sacrifice of praise? For many look at others who engage in worship and say they are spiritual and they're able to set themselves apart at the moment. But understand this, that the greatest worshipers are those who are oftentimes engaged in a battle of their mind and their emotions, but they choose for that moment in time to set all things aside and put all things under their feet, to devote themselves solely unto praise and unto worship. And until you begin to walk in such obedience, you will never begin to cross the line to where that your worship and your praise comes to a place of maturity and advances. Some have asked the question, can I worship the Lord quietly and it still have the same effect? At times, yes, but there must come forth out of you at times when I'm asking you a volume of your voice by which you yourself can hear your own praises going up before me. Know this, that I said in my word, it is out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of the mouth of worshipers, that I will still the voice of the enemy. The enemy is being allowed to speak louder than your worship. Your worship ought to speak louder than the enemy, says the Spirit of grace. Do not wait for a season in which you feel the presence and the exuberance to worship. Choose this day and every day to worship me and to praise me, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll remind you to always be prepared to take notes. You don't have to take notes of everything that I say, but bring something to be able to take notes, and bring your Bible also, or make sure you have it available on your smart device. And I pray that if you're looking at anything in this church other than the Word on your phone during the services, that you get under Holy Ghost conviction, tremendous Holy Ghost conviction. We're going to talk to you about a subject today that's very familiar to all of us, but maybe not as familiar as it should be, and that's being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Ghost. Turn with me to Luke chapter 3, and I'm just going to read some scriptures, and in some points you may feel like this is something we've covered many times before in the past. I can tell you we're going to continue to cover these things. It will be new to some and very old to others, and right in between for many more. But let's look at Jesus here in Luke chapter 3, and where we're going to pick this up, we're just going to be spotty in our verses, but we're going to chronologically go through just a little bit Jesus' life and ministry just for a few moments after he began his ministry. But verse 21 says, and when all the people were baptized, and it's talking about the baptism of John, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens was opened, and the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. Thank you. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then in verse 23, and it says, And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Everybody say 30 years of age. Being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, and it goes on from there, and talking about, you know, the genealogy. But what it is from that point, from verse 23, where it starts the genealogy, he kind of gives you a parenthesis here of something that he's going to talk about. But as far as the chronology of what's happening to Jesus and the information that you need to be getting as far as his life going forward at this time, skip over to, you're right there, Luke chapter 4. Okay, so Luke chapter 4 verse 1 is actually right after Luke chapter 3 verse 22. And verse 22 I'll read for you again, and then we'll go right to 4:1. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Well, what happened at that moment? He was baptized in water. But what also happened? Verse 1 of chapter 4, because we just skipped the chronology. That's just kind of a sidebar for us to understand who he was. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. At that moment in time, Jesus, about 30, was baptized in water, but he was also baptized in the Holy Ghost. Up till that point, Jesus lived a what we would call a saved life or a born-again life, but not born again for him. He was born with that life in him, but he was not yet full or filled with the Holy Ghost. Two things happened to him at one time. He was baptized in water, and he also was filled with the Holy Ghost. And at that moment in time, right after he was filled with the Holy Ghost, in chapter 4, it talks about that he went out in the wilderness. We're not going to cover that. He was tempted of Satan 40 days and 40 nights. I'll just read some notes and then say some more things in a moment. The saved Jesus, I'm going to call him the saved Jesus. Now, we know that he didn't get saved like born again, but for our vernacular, just so we'll understand, the saved Jesus was not full of the Holy Ghost until about 30 and baptized. He was water baptized and spirit baptized on the same day. Does everybody see that? We just proved that in Scripture. Now here's some observations as we go forward. Until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he did not teach doctrine. Do you understand that? Not a word of teaching came out of his mouth. Not a word of teaching came out of the mouth of Jesus. You say, well, really? Oh, yeah. He didn't begin his ministry till after this. Not a doctrine was preached. Not a parable taught. Not a thing said. He was not, I'm going to say it like this, and this will make a religious devil just go crazy and pull his hair out. He was not qualified to teach until he was full of the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I didn't get it. I just proved it to you by way of example. Did I not show you that until he was full of the Holy Ghost? Well, we're going to read what happened. You say, well, really, because I haven't got all the way through chapter 4. Let me say something else that'll cause a devil to just go crazy. Until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, he did not perform miracles. You say, well, I'll continue on. He was not qualified to perform miracles. Wouldn't it be better for you to say he was not empowered? Wouldn't that be a better way to say it? Well, until he's empowered, he's not qualified. No need to start trying to do things on your own. Not until you're full of the Holy Ghost. Let's go to chapter 4. He went through the temptations in the wilderness in verse 31. Let's look at it together. Verse 31 says, and he came down to Capernaum. Well, by the way, before that, he goes into Nazareth. He returns from his temptation 40 days, goes into the town that he grew up in, preaches the gospel, first sermon, basically. And they rejected him there, so he changed his headquarters. He moved down to Capernaum, and this is what happens. This is the beginning of his ministry. He moves down to Capernaum. Verse 31 says, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his what? Doctrine. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. For his words was with what? His words were with power. Why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now, let's stop right here and get a little preachy on you. I'm trying to teach you a little bit, but I got to get a little preachy on you. Devils won't know who you are unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. You want to be covert? You don't want to cause no devils, no problems? You want to slip by them in airports and out of churches and down the Walmart hallways? They won't ever feel any kind of intimidation from you if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized, and you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. My God, I'm not getting enough amens. Maybe you're listening. If I don't preach everything by the Word of God this morning, don't believe a word I say. Okay? And they were amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out. Verse 37, and the fame of him went out into every place in the country round about. I'm telling you, it's not going to be because it's Bronk Flint, Homer Betancourt, or any of you elders or anybody that we've ever been associated with, but the fame of this place in the days ahead is going to go out into all places in this region for the purposes of the outpouring that's coming. And you might as well get used to it. The standard that Jesus set by example is that you are not yet, and we've said this, but I got to say it again, you're not yet fully. I'll use that, and I'll be nice. I'll give that caveat. You're not yet fully qualified to teach the word or perform miracles until you are full of the Holy Ghost. And I'll say with parentheses, stay full. Hallelujah. I thought I left a church of ameners here. Did Homer get the last amen out of y'all? Well, Pastor, you know the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. And there wasn't really stay full of the Holy Ghost or any of that. Would you please turn there with me? Let's look at it together. Mark chapter 16. Let's go to the Great Commission. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you said, let's just get commissioned and go. Okay, Mark chapter 16. You know what I'm going to say. Don't tell nobody. Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. And afterwards he appeared unto the 11. This is getting close to his going. As they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. What did he say? Well, let's just jump on that for a minute. Go ye into all the world. Is there anything else you want to say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Glory be to God. Let's do it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. Here it comes. In my name shall they cast out devils. Glory. Hallelujah. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name shall they cast out devils. Listen, y'all. Y'all are going to a church where somebody in this city or somebody that you know is going to say, you go to that church where they, we heard about what happened over there the other day. They just, there was a big ruckus and, the reputation will be, there's demons in that church. No, there was demons that came to church and we made them leave. And we got them out of the person too. I hope, by now I'm proud of all of you, because if you're coming here, you're not worried about y'all got a bad reputation. You heard of girls and ladies and people with bad reputations. We all got bad reputations. Unless somebody in this city or somebody somewhere is saying, y'all are that bunch, that Holy Ghost bunch, we're not yet doing our job. Oh, man, don't preach me. Don't shout me down. The day and hour, listen to me, the day and hour that I ever call up a bunch of people and say, we want y'all all to get, if we're still far enough along to say, we want y'all to get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, and sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, will you take them in that side room over there and get them filled? Because we want to do that privately. The day and hour that we do any of that stuff privately, a bunch of y'all just get up and walk out. Just get up. Just get up and walk out. Unless there's something else going on that we have to have the room. But once we begin to hide the Holy Ghost, the power starts to leave. The day and hour that I said, well, this big auditorium, we want to do this privately. It's not got private anymore. It's just got zilch. It's got zilch. Don't get me started. Y'all just get up and say, in case we don't see you. No, don't even say anything. Just get up and leave. I'll get the message that God is leaving the house. Hallelujah to God. I did not eat a big breakfast. I had a bagel with barbecue sauce and yeah, I did. It was a hot barbecue sauce and barbed wire. Candy thought I misspoke. I knew what I was saying. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. Now watch this. Everybody see this. Now here's teaching part. So after the Lord had just said what he said about casting out devils and speaking with new tongues, he said, Mark records on this particular setting when he just said that. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up unto heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, which was in italics, but we'll include it now, with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Well, Pastor, you make so much about this, about being baptized and full of the Holy Ghost, even prior to teaching or ministry or miracles. But Jesus said those signs will follow, but was he really that adamant about it as you are? Because we see that it would follow with signs. But listen, if you're in a good fundamentalist church this morning and preaching the word and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit will do everything he can with you. He loves his word preached. I'm not demeaning that, but I'm saying this, according to what Jesus said, you must be full of the Holy Ghost. You're not fully, And I'll never back up from this. You're not yet fully ready to teach the word or to perform miracles until you're full of the Holy Ghost. That was the example that Jesus taught. And that's what he said here in Mark chapter 4. Well, most of it's always the Great Commission. Go ye, go ye, go ye. But at the same setting, somebody said, well, that's all he emphasized right there. He didn't mention that, you know, you'd lay hands on the sick. He didn't mention you might speak with tongues. That's really good. But how much emphasis did he put on it? Well, he wasn't done speaking yet. Mark didn't record all that he said. That's not everything. That's not the bottom line. We got to go over to Luke. We got to go to Luke's rendition, and that's the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1. Here's the same setting. And I said this is simple. Some of you understood this, and some of you haven't seen it before, but chronologically, it's the same setting. Luke records it in Acts chapter 9. This is Mark 16, what we just read. This is the same sit down where when he's standing there teaching, and then he ascends. We said Mark said after he said these things, he was taken up. Okay, what does Luke say? Let me read Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to show you that this is the same place. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had said these things, what things? The things that were prior to verse 9. Okay? But after he had said these things, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, does everybody see that? Okay, in Mark 16, after he said that, he left. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, everything that is up to that point that we're about to read, as soon as he said that, he left. He can only go one time. So he said all of everything he said in these two different renditions of Scripture, it's all the same. Now let's look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, and that's the writings he's talking about, the testimony, began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Everybody say wait. It's like the Great Commission is like, I heard that, let's go. But when he was speaking that, he also said, wait, wait. No, don't go, for God's sake, don't go yet, because you're not qualified, you're not empowered or qualified unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you know that? He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. Well, we know it wasn't many days hence from there, because they sought the Lord and they were filled. Verse 6 says this, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put forth in his own power, but you shall receive what? Are you looking at your Bibles? You will receive what? Power. Yes, dunamis, power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. In other words, don't witness without the power. Can you do it without the power? Yeah, it can be done, but not Holy Ghost led. It's got to be a formulated. I got to get my heart across to you, because I can see something. The only way that we're going to receive this revival, one is, we just talked about it this morning, we've got to have praise and worship to go out in front of it. It's got to be the vanguard. Praise and worship's got to be the vanguard. It's got to go out in front of us. The other thing is, if we ever start If we ever just start, have you got any fear of it? A godly fear, yes. If we ever just start to lean towards our natural understanding and not totally, absolutely, with every fiber of our being and every weight of our cell of our spiritual being, don't totally depend on the power of the Holy Ghost, we'll never have this revival. It'll be aborted, or it'll go someplace else for a number of years, or we'll just string along thinking that we're in something that we're not. We have to have the Holy Ghost. We have to depend on the Holy Ghost, and we have to continually activate that dependency on praying in other tongues and giving ourselves over to Him and allowing Him. We have to be full of the Holy Ghost to become, listen, I went to a Bible college. I got a 4-year degree. Didn't go on to get a master's or anything. I get their alumni magazine. They've got a big, it's a university now. It's amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. And I'm not even trying to be critical. I'm looking for big, beautiful color wax sheeted or whatever. It's just really nice. Not, I mean, they're spending a lot. Just a nice magazine. What you can go through there. They have transitioned from a Holy Ghost over the last 25 years. You can't hardly even find hardly a mention. You can't hardly, I'm looking for it, and I'm just saying, maybe I could put that mention over there in the mention of power or Holy Ghost. It's all academics, all smartness, all brain. They have Brainiac Jesus right out of. And they're just one. Harvard, Princeton, all of them started out as Bible colleges, training men and women of God. And they've, I don't want your intellectual knowledge. You can't cast a devil out with it. You can't get a sick child out of a wheelchair with your smartness. I like IQ. I think it helps. I think it helps. But you cannot, listen, you could go to, I could start naming them. All the seminaries, all of the nice Baptist seminaries, you could have the PhD stand up. Does that scare you? No, I'm not intimidated, nor am I antagonistic. It doesn't, if a man is a PhD and he's full of the Holy Ghost, that's wonderful. I think Paul probably would have had 16 PhDs. That's how smart he was. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. But you could go to, I could start naming them, but I'll be nice, all the different, and I'm not just talking about charismatic colleges, I'm talking about the most prestigious seminaries. You could have these men, they would stand up, they could out Greek me, they can out quote me maybe, they could out give out history me. But do you think for 1 minute that intimidates me? Because they'll stand up and you'll graduate. Go ahead and get your little PhD of intellectual knowledge. Go ahead and sit down with somebody that's real smart, and they'll tell you that tongues are not for today. They'll teach you, they'll go to their little ditty scriptures and teach you that tongues are not for today. Or they'll teach you that you can live the life that you want and go to heaven. Once you're born again, you're always born again. Or healing's not for today. Or if it is, it's at His will. Now you know when somebody just reaches out and says, let's pray for that person. God bless him. When they start like this, you don't have to rebuke them and embarrass them. You just know they don't have any kind of concept of power when they say, Father, if it be thy will, touch Aunt so-and-so. Now that ain't going to get, Aunt so-and-so's going to die. She's going on if that's the only prayer she's going to get. Unless medical science can heal her. We know His will. Now the day and hour we stop talking about the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues, He's leaving the parking lot. Or He'll start backing up. Holy Ghost, I'm asking you, I know you've come to glorify Christ. You're not the end. You're the one that glorifies Him. But Lord, I pray that You'll always keep in front of us the necessity to teach and preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. Let somebody, we don't want to bring persecution, but somebody in this city ought to say, you go to that Holy Ghost, that don't y'all talk in tongues over it? Yes, ma'am, we sure do. Would you like for me to lay hands on you? Amen. Here in the Winn-Dixie, we can get you filled. Yes. Glory be to God. Don't you ever have a little bit of embarrassment about talking about the Holy Ghost of God. Well, I'm going to sneak it in on them. Since you brought up power, let me tell you where the power Jesus didn't. Good, I'm glad you talked about praying for them. Well, Pastor, I've been listening to a man on the radio or someplace, and well, good. And he's got some good doctrine. Good. I'd like for you to listen to it, some of the pastor. Maybe it'd rub off on you. Well, oh, good. Does he pray in tongues? No, I don't think he's filled. I don't need to talk. I don't need to listen. I don't think. Does he pray in tongues? No, I don't. But he's got some good stuff. Oh, yeah, he'll get some good stuff and he'll get some horrible stuff. I don't need to listen. I don't have. Honestly, I'm not being mean, but I just don't have time. With my prayer life and then my own meditation, and then coming back and trying to catch up, you know, like what Homer does, you know, listen to him. I don't have time to listen to a whole lot of other. And by the way, I'll just bring this up. Some of you are watching, maybe some of you in here. Somebody said, I want to go in the ministry. I want to be, you know, I think I'm called. And you very well could be, male or female. Can you recommend a good Bible college? Well, not any place to go to, not unless you want to backslide. There, you know. yeah. So now you can go online and go to Jim Martin's. That's a good one, but not unless you want. You know, I can't send you any place. Well, what would you say do? Well, I was on a conference. I was on a Zoom with Gary the other day. We were in Australia together on the Zoom, and he was the man was asking about teaching for his son and others that were coming up. And Gary brought up something I've heard him say before, and I've heard Dave. He said, okay, you want to go into the ministry? Yep. So he said, look, I'll tell you this. Here's the start. Here's ground zero for people wanting to go into the ministry. He said, Dave would say it like this. Dave would say, now I can't, he would say this because people, you know, want to argue. And he said, no, I can't say this. Can't give you scripture on this. I'm just saying this by observation. Just by observation about anybody that wants to go in the ministry. Through the years, observation-wise, what I have seen, that anybody that wanted to go into full-time ministry to be able to survive the beatings that the enemy would throw at them and to really devote themselves full-time to going forward full-time, that they had to have a minimum, just the threshold, a minimum of at least 20 hours a week. At least 20. That was the start. And they needed to absorb or meditate the entire New Testament at least 30 times. That was the threshold in just starting into training. 30 times. Now, that doesn't mean you read Matthew to Revelation 30 times and then you turn back and, or, you know, one time, you know, you might read 1 John today and Matthew and, you know, tomorrow, you know, what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be consecutively, but those kinds of guidelines. So you're watching today and you're saying, I want to go into the ministry. Can you start me out? I'll start you out. Here's a start. And of course, if you're called, I will say this. You're going to have to find a way to start praying at least 20. Some of you may be doing that, but at least 20 hours a week if you're called to the ministry. At least. That's the threshold. That's where you start at. And absorb. Now, it may take you a while. It may take you a year or so or more to read the entire New Testament 30 times. But you need, listen, anybody that's talking to me about God, I want them qualified. I want them knowing Scripture. But what I want in their life more than anything else is I want them praying in other tongues and the Word. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Pastor, what are you teaching about today? Holy Ghost. Did you catch that? We understand by Scripture that the Holy Ghost has come to glorify Jesus. You know, as soon as you start talking about speaking in tongues, some religious devil will say, but it's all about salvation and all about, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't understand that. That's... But we want our city to know. We want the city to know. We want the state to know. We want the nation to know, and we want the world to know worldwide that the Holy Ghost is in this house glorifying Christ. That we want to have a rep. Here's our rep. We want, it all goes back to Jesus, but our rep wants, we want to have the reputation. That's a Holy Ghost church. That's a Holy Ghost filled church. Them people speak in tongues in there. I wish I had time out of 1 Corinthians. Somebody said, well, we shouldn't speak in tongues in a congregation when people... No, you can speak in tongues in the congregation when there's thousands here. That's fine. It's just that we should not all speak in tongues the whole service and it just be a tongue service, because... That way people, in other words, you should, that's why Paul said, in the service, I will pray in tongues and I'll speak with my understanding. In other words, you'll give acclamation for the good Baptist to come in or the good Methodist to come in or people that are not born again. They come in and they hear in their own language the word of God spoken. But you can quietly, all of us can be, I pray to God that... I pray to God every church mouse in this building, if we have any, is filled with the Holy Ghost. I want the carpet full of the Holy Ghost. I want the ceiling filled with the Holy Ghost. We can't have this revival without the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't think he was qualified to preach the word without the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't think he was qualified to lay hands on the sick without the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let me read to you, and you can just listen. You can mark this down. I read these at the conference, but I'll do it again today. Hallelujah. This is after Jesus started his ministry. This is not all of the individual. I'm going to read out of Matthew. It won't take me just but a few minutes. All of the collective miracles when he got together with congregation, you know, mass groups. There's tons of individual healings sandwiched in between these, but you can mark this down. And this is all I'm reading out of Matthew, so I'm not doubling up by reading in other gospels. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all of Galilee. Now this is after he's filled with the Holy Ghost, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different or diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Hallelujah. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. They're going to follow us too, because of us. It's not us, it's Christ in us. But when we have the power, and we're headed that way. You cannot, I'm going to do this by way of example. We're going to call, there may be not a person in here that's not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're going to have open line here in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for everybody through the camera. Listen, here's where The power doesn't start. It doesn't start not in Jesus' ministry, and it doesn't start in here until one simple thing. That initiates the power in you individually, and then it corporately begins a fire in the church. We not only need the Holy Ghost shall come upon you and you shall receive power, but He is absolutely, unequivocally, without doubt, and multiple scripture, but we're not in that vein. He is the teacher. You have to have Him as the teacher. All those PhDs, it's not that they're not born again, but why are they speaking unsound doctrine? Because they don't have the teacher. Well, they're born again. Do you understand when you're born again? That's something, Dave used to say, that's something that happened to you. The Holy Ghost is something that happened on top of, or how did he say it? I'll think of it maybe in a moment. When the Holy Ghost, verse John says, any man that receives God, it has God, or is has God in him. But when you're born again, when you go from death to life, you are a created creature now with the life of God in you. That's what makes you a son or daughter of God. These walls are filled. I can't do it on the side because the camera couldn't catch me. There's boards up here. But if I was if I changed this, no example can really give the perfect rendition of what happens to you. And this probably is not the best, but the one I think of at the moment. The Holy Ghost comes in, and He doesn't just plaster the walls. He completely changes you. You are a new creation. But all I can say is, for all practical purposes, somebody may call me on this. I'll try to explain it. I don't know if you understand this. You're not full. Baptism means immersed. Your spirit is not immersed in the Holy Ghost yet. In other words, something happened to your spirit. You became a new spirit, but it was like he came in just enough to create you, but he didn't fill you. You're not full. Can you prove that? I just did with 10 scriptures. I don't know how many I gave, but I just proved Jesus was not up until the age 30. He had the life of God in him. He had we call it a born again. He had that, but he was not full. The Holy Ghost was not living inside of him, as we understand. He had the life of God in him, but not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Once you receive the baptism, you go to heaven with a born again spirit. Hallelujah! It's a ticket to ride, and it's the power to say no to sin. The new nature is the power to say no to sin. The Holy Ghost doesn't step in and give you the power to say no to sin. He only enforces it. He only says, you've already begun. It makes me so mad. I can't hardly stand it when people blame the Holy Ghost for their sin. I'm talking about tongue talkers. Well, I hadn't been praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why I committed fornication. You didn't have to commit fornication or adultery before you started praying in tongues. My God, praying in tongues is for the power and for the revelation. I slipped up and got drunk last night, Pastor. I hadn't been fasting and praying. Oh, stop that stuff. You're blaming the Holy Ghost on something. You did it because you wanted to. I've been peeking at stuff I shouldn't be peeking at, and because I haven't been praying the last. The power of the new nature sets you free from sin. We're talking about the one that comes in and baptizes you for service. We're training black belts. Glory be to God. The Holy Ghost comes in to fill you for service and to teach you revelation knowledge. Now, he changed you. You got the new nature, and you are a son or daughter of God. Why? Because you have his DNA. Now, the born-again nature is the DNA, but it's not filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants a second He wants a second event, which is the baptism. He wants to step in, fill you up now for service and for revelation knowledge. Can revelation knowledge get over to a just born again? Yes, because they have the capacity. But you never know. They can go from A to Z. I've seen some tongue talkers go from A to Z. Why? Because they didn't pray it out. They didn't pray it out. Glory be to God. Let me read these real quick. Matthew 8, we did Matthew 4. Matthew 8, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses. Now, the same setting, this is the same setting I said we're going to read out of Matthew, but this is the same setting in Luke, but I like the way Luke says, and when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That's the other thing, too. We're going to pray for people, but you Holy Ghost people, y'all don't be embarrassed when he says, put your hands on them, okay? You men better be careful about make sure ministering to women and those kinds of things. But I'm telling you, we're a church that we're not only tongue talkers, but we're hand layers. Amen? And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. This is Matthew 9:35, if you're writing these things down. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing everybody say every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he had, and this is Matthew 10:1, and when these are all separate events, and when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. This is not necessarily an event, but an empowerment, or Jesus giving power over to them to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 12:15. And when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Everybody say all. Hallelujah. Matthew 14:13. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. Hallelujah. Matthew 14:34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. Hallelujah. Matthew 15:29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down. And a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet and healed them. Hallelujah. Matthew 12 says, and Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold doves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now this is in Acts. This is us. This is the church. Acts 5:12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders brought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitude both men and women, inasmuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and lay them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Praise the name of the Lord. Robert, could you please? Amen. The first thing we want to do is we want to look out and say to everyone that is here, let's all just begin to worship and pray for just a moment. Let's just magnify the Lord. Shut yourself in to a place of worship and adoration to Him, and everyone that's watching, we appreciate you being with us. Glory. Two altar calls this morning. One is, if you're watching this morning or if you're in this place and you're not totally sure that you're ready to meet the Lord, if you're not born of Christ, if you're not born again, then we want to give you that incredible opportunity. Jesus came, gave His life as the Son of God, lived a perfect life, but died for you. Not for just numbers. He died for you to set you free. Tomorrow morning, you can wake up a new man, a new woman. Go forth out of the rest of your life with a joy that's unspeakable. All things can be passed away. I don't care what you did or what you've been doing up till this point. You may have walked in this building full of sin, full of perversion, full of every kind of sin that's imaginable to man. But in an instant, in a moment's time, your life can be changed. How does that happen? You trust in the saving power of Jesus Christ, trusting in the blood of the Lamb. That opportunity is for you right now. If you're in this building, all you need to do is step out of where you're at and come to the front, and I want to pray with you. Is there anybody in this building that says, I need prayer, I am a sinner, I want to be saved. Just step out. Amen. Come on. Wherever you're at, come on. Let's give them a great big hand. There's one that's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Just stand right here. Is there anybody else that wants to come forward this morning and give their heart and life to the Lord? You say, I need Jesus. I need Christ. I need a change in my life. Something's got to happen. I need the Son of God in my life. Hallelujah. Is there anybody? I know there's people out there watching this morning that needs this. In just a moment, I'm going to pray with this man, and I'm just going to lead him in a sinner's prayer. And in a moment's time, he's going to be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else in this building? Say, I need prayer. I am a sinner. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray with Ben. This is a friend of mine. His name is Ben. And he's come forward to give his life to the Lord, dedicate, reconsecrate his life. And so we're so thankful, we're so proud. And we're just going to say a prayer together. Ben, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer and mean it with all your heart. And I've been seeing you start to come back, and I'm just rejoicing with you this morning. When you say this prayer, you're making a commitment. You understand that. And all of us are making that commitment. Let's make this commitment together with Ben and individually. Just say this together. And Ben, you pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins and wash me in your blood. I ask for your forgiveness of all my sins. I choose to follow you the rest of my life. Cleanse me, wash me, write my name down in the book of life, and I will follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. There's another choice. I wouldn't keep him up here for that just because he was here, but there's other choices everyone has to make. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, this morning. And in other words, if you cannot speak in tongues, if you're born again, you can speak in tongues. You're allowed, in other words, you're qualified now to begin to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't have to fast 5 weeks. You don't have to seek for it. All we have to do is pray over you, or all you have to do really is, I might not be able to touch you through the camera. All I'm going to pray over you, and all you have to do is say, Lord, I just receive it, because now you're qualified just by the new nature, just by because you asked Jesus into your heart. And I will just say this as I pray this morning, and then I'm going to ask people to come if it's not filled, or if you're filled and you can't hardly, if you only got one word, that's no disgrace, but you need to, the Bible says they begin to flow, and Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus talked to the woman of Samaria about a well. The well is the born-again nature. The river is the Holy Ghost. You've got a well, and you need to have a river, okay? You've got a well through the new nature. You need to have a river that's flowing through you through the power of the Holy Ghost, where you're able to pray the mysteries continually. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you say, well, I you know, it's hard for me, I only got a word or two, that's no condemnation. But I've seen people in here that's had that, you know, that challenge before, and then the Holy Ghost just touch them, and then they, you should have limitless words. You don't even know what all words you're saying, just thousands of Holy Ghost words, an incredible vocabulary. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask anybody that wants prayer for the baptism of the Holy Ghost also to come forward, and those of you watching. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He glorifies Christ. He teaches us the word of truth, and he empowers us to be a witness, and that witness is to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and to perform every notable miracle that Jesus performed. So we're asking you, Father, that there will be a baptism of the Holy Ghost upon people watching this morning, and people that are in here, if they're not flowing or if they've never had an initial baptism, that they will, Lord, welcome you this morning for that purpose. Touch their lives, touch their hearts in Jesus' name. If you don't pray in tongues and you'd like to pray in tongues, please come forward. Or if you pray in tongues and you've only got a word or two, then we want to pray for you also. So come on now, is the best time to come. Don't wait till later. It's real easy. It's real simple. Hallelujah. You got some language. Amen. Hallelujah. You just want to flow. Amen. Praise God. Just stand right here. Anybody, I know there's others. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't speak in tongues yet? It's so easy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we're not going to teach you how to pray in tongues. We're going to lay hands on you, and the Holy Ghost is going to teach you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? All right, come forward. Yes. Let's give her a great big hand. Stand right there. Yes. Hallelujah. Just stand beside him, darling. Okay. Hallelujah. Her name's Darling. I'm not saying darling. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Anybody else? You want to pray in tongues? You want to pray in tongues? It'll change your whole world. Just like getting saved changes, you're like, oh my God, I'm a new person. You'll think you got saved again once you get baptized. It's like another salvation almost. It's incredible. Hallelujah. Those of you that are watching, we're going to pray for these in just a moment. I think these have probably already prayed at one time, but we're going to get them flowing. Who wants to get filled? Hallelujah. Those of you watching, thank you, Jesus. Well, I need some Holy Ghost women and a couple of guys up here, elders that pray. Hallelujah. So come on. Stretch your faith this way. I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. Those of you that are watching, I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray and release the power of God. Now, Arnold, I know you pray. You ladies ask her. I think she's prayed before, but get her flowing if she's not after I pray this prayer. So all that it takes is just, first of all, asking the Lord to baptize you. And then you just open up, and then I'm going to say, receive the Holy Ghost. And at that moment, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is going to fill your born-again spirit, and you're going to have the power to speak in tongues. Once he fills you, then he gives you a language. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the language of heaven. It is tongues. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we're praying together. Let's all say this. Dear Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, I receive you. I say that after this prayer, I can speak in tongues. And I can speak in tongues as long as I want to, with as many words as the Holy Spirit desires. In Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Now, you deliberately start using your language in your mouth, and you just kind of step off a cliff and say, okay, I don't know what the next word is, but I'm going to put breath over my tongue, and you begin to speak. Let's all begin to speak in tongues. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, Mela kalaso le kredi di ala kolose de kresi, dole bala kredi di ala koro kresi di diatala. Zole bela kalada di ela balabo sole kredi di etala kalasala. Jean dale di eda kalaso le kredi di le bakala baro kresi te. Dida la koro de le beriba la krasa la baro kresi di diete. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dole bere kresi di diata la bakura kresi di diata le kresata. Dele kresi le kredi di ala maron dele kresi di diata la krosata la. Dele bere kidi diata la bakura kresi di diata le bara kresata. Dole bara baran dele kresi di diata la bakura kresi te. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ikaresola bara kresi le kreti di diata le. De la malala mande le carasala bacara sedi di ete le carasoto. How they doing over there? Are they doing good? Yep, good. Bede carasola creste de kidi. Getting the. Everybody's doing good over there. Cadece le carata le bacude. If you're at home, you're in a place, sometimes there's teenagers that are, you know, they love God. They're just the greatest, but they're just having a hard time. And it's okay. You don't want to pressure them. But at the same time, you just want to give them opportunity. And I'm saying to the young ladies, the young men that are watching, and everyone in here, just be open. He's there. We're just going to try this one more time. Just allow the Holy Spirit. You get a word that's in your brain. It's coming from another place. It's not just your brain. It's coming from it's coming from your spiritual brain. So just say that word, and you'll say, maybe I'm just making fun of God to say this word. I'm telling you right now by the Holy Ghost, that's God giving you that word. So go ahead and say that word, whatever it is. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Dole de diela carada la croce de sele carese le creti dietala. Dole mandele carasa la barabo curro caresete. Gele carasola caresete dietele. Bless you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Bala carasala caresete dietala. Bella carasala caresete diete. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. All the glory to God. Well, write us if you've been filled with the Spirit or born again. Send an email to our email address. And we're looking forward to great things in the days ahead. We're going to see some massive crowds. I was just standing here thinking about there was a youth service many years ago that Homer had here. And the Holy Ghost fell, and he had a line here that was incredible. At 17 at one time, and he didn't even lay his hands on them, hardly. I mean, he didn't even get to them, and the Holy Ghost just, boom, just blew in, and just filled them all at one time. And we're going to see that. That is the beginning. It has already started. And we're going to continue to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to come in here, and they're going to be filled one right after the other, after the other, after the other. So praise God. We love you. Have a wonderful day. No church tonight, but we love you. Have a wonderful day. God, give God all the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.